Thank you. 1 Timothy 3. Last week we went through verses 1 through 7. We didn't quite cover everything. And we actually may talk about some things in there today as well. Let's just kind of review a little bit. In verses 1 through 7, just give me the gist of what was going on there. What was happening?
Characteristics of an elder.
Okay. So, yeah, the characteristics or the qualifications of an elder is what Paul is giving. And so, and what is an elder?
Overseer.
An overseer, yeah. And what's the function of an elder?
Somewhere between the main guy who takes care of the community and the community.
Okay. In American church structure, that is often true. Here, it's different. So we talked last week about how the Bible uses the word overseer and how the Bible uses the word pastor and how the Bible uses the word elder. So the word elder and the word overseer and the word pastor are all interchangeable words in the Bible for the same function in the same office. So a pastor is an elder, is a shepherd, is an overseer. They're all the same in the Bible. And so elders are really pastors, in at least in the New Testament. And so they have that function of oversight over the congregation. And so there's an authority element to being an elder or an overseer. They have a teaching responsibility to the congregation because one of the requirements was able to teach. And so that's their function. Their function is teaching, shepherding, oversight over the congregation. That's what elders do, or overseers, or pastors, because they're all the same biblically. And so last week, we talked about some of the different qualifications, and what I wanted to do was have us try to apply them in real life. And so we talked about things like husband of one wife. How do you apply that in the real world today? What is that actually getting at? You know, does it mean a single person can't be an elder because he's not a husband of one wife? Does it mean, a divorced person? What does it say about, we talked about that kind of stuff last week. Able to teach, we talked about last week. And we talked about how able to teach and gifted to teach are different things. And so the elder doesn't have to be a gifted, it doesn't have to be a spiritual gift. But he does need to be able to explain to people the faith. I mean, if you're going to lead a church, you need to be able to explain the faith to people. And so that's why that's there. But it's not, he doesn't have to be gifted. And so, as a teacher, manage his household well. We talked about how do you apply that in the real world. And, you know, did we talk about different situations? What about an elder who's, you know, daughter, and what about, anyway, we talked a little bit about that. Not a recent convert, we talked about last week. And so what I want to do is, let's, for today, we're going to probably move into deacons today, but let's talk a little bit about elders still. Let's keep our focus there right now. And what I want to do is look at verse 7. And just tell me what it says. What should be true of an elder or an overseer?
Should have a good reputation with people who are not believers.
A good reputation. Okay. So, well thought of by outsiders. Okay. So I want to ask you then, I'm going to give you some scriptures. This first scripture is Proverbs 29. I was actually reading this when we were in Proverbs. And verse 27, here's what it says. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, but one whose way is straight is an abomination to the wicked. Jesus said this. He said, the world will hate you on account of me. Okay. This is now saying that you need to be well thought of by outsiders. But we have lots of scriptures that say the world, it really isn't going to think well of you.
But they're different.
Okay. This is my question. So then talk to me about how they're different.
I think that this is talking about in the way they deal with people, not in the way, I mean, yes, you're going to be rejected because you are a believer and you're different.
Okay. Yeah.
But don't be rejected because you take bribes. Don't be rejected because you lie and you break contracts. Don't be rejected because you do evil. Uh-huh.
Okay.
In your everyday lives. Because, yeah, I mean, I've seen this way too many times in life. Well, I'm being rejected because they don't like me. No, they don't like you because you're lying. I mean, you know, because you're an awful person.
That happens.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah, I'm rejected because I'm a Christian. No, you're rejected because you're just abusive with your tongue and you're not kind and you're not, you know what I mean?
It, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my personal belief, I'm sorry.
I mean, you can be well thought of for the right reasons.
Right.
You can be well thought of for the wrong reasons.
Right.
You can be ill thought of for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You can be ill thought of for the wrong reasons. You can be well thought of or ill thought of for right reasons and wrong reasons. So then how do you distinguish between what Paul is saying here about an elder and the other? You've already talked a little bit about it. Let me hear from some of you other guys. How do you distinguish between that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the right reasons?
You didn't say what are the right reasons.
I know, I didn't. And I am now. That's my follow-up question.
Verses 2 and 3. Self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not a lover of money.
Okay. So if you're doing those things, which are qualifications for an elder, you would think that the world would think well of you.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least if it does think well of you, it does it for the right reasons because you're doing those things. Okay.
In your office.
In the office.
The guy was supposed to get together with Dave Sneller. What's his name? That's
Don
what I think.
Neal?
Don Neal.
What?
Well respected because he's a
Yeah, he's a believer. He's
mm-hmm.
well respected.
Mm-hmm.
He's honest in what he does. People know that they can trust him.
Mm-hmm.
This is a kind of a weird example because
yeah.
I'm not getting to what you're saying, but we had an elder that was an art professor at UT.
Yeah.
And one of my coworker's husband was in that art program.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, do you know what was his name?
Tim High.
He goes, oh, yeah, he's one of our professors. He goes, he's a Christian. He won't let you do a lot of things. I can't stand him. Can't stand him. I said, well, have you ever seen any of his artwork? And he goes, oh, yeah, he's fantastic. I mean, I know that's not quite the same, but in a way,
yeah.
He could recognize the talent or the ability or, in this case, respectable.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't like him because he was a believer.
Yeah.
And there is a difference.
Yeah.
This person can be a believer within a community of unbelievers.
And I always thought that was the greatest compliment to his art.
Yeah.
Someone who couldn't stand
Someone who doesn't like him, loves his art.
He was fantastic. He was so talented. He was so good.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I'm bringing up this issue just because what I want you to see in Scripture is if you were to just take verse 7 all by itself as like a standalone.
Oh, yeah.
Outside of all of the rest of Scripture, and read it without the context of the rest of Scripture. Mm-hmm. What would happen is the world would be determining who the elders of the church can be. And that is backwards. The world has no right to determine who the elders of the church should be.
Well, and some good people, I mean, just look at our society right now, who has good reputations, and they're like, really? There's no character there. Why are they?
Yeah.
They're just rich, you know, and our society worships rich people. And so,
I mean, there's a lot of that.
Yeah, but I mean, so, I mean, yeah, I'm like, oof, yeah.
Okay. Let's move on. I want to say, I want to give a principle about these qualifications for elders, overseers. So if you look at the gist of these qualifications, we talked about this last week. They get at character, integrity, your heart. That's what you're looking for. They don't really focus on giftings and skills. They focus more on the man than the abilities of the man. What's his character? His character is more important than his abilities. The only ability in here is able to teach, and he needs to be able to do that. So we're talking about character. And so now what I want to do is sort of balance that a little bit. These qualifications deal with the overall man, not necessarily specific instances. And what I mean by that is this: elders still sin. And sometimes what we can do is we can see this elder, you know, and maybe he was argumentative on this day, or he snapped at you, or he was rude, or, you know, and we say, oh, he's not qualified to be an elder. And elders' family members still sin. And we need to approach this with some common sense and not in an absolute sense. If we're going to take this absolutely and, you know, no exceptions ever of any sort, what's going to happen is nobody will ever be qualified to be an elder. Paul would not have been qualified to be an elder. Paul said he's the chief of sinners in this book. And so the chief of sinners certainly would not qualify to be an elder if we're going to take that approach. And so this may come out wrong, so, but I want you to hear what I'm saying and not hear what I'm not saying, or not hear what I'm not saying. There's a sense in which we need to allow leaders to sin. Mm-hmm. And I hope you understand what I mean by that and not what I don't mean by that. And so I'm not saying we're looking for sinners to lead. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is we're looking for quality men, but quality men still sin. And
otherwise they'll hide it.
Yeah, and there needs to be a certain amount of grace there toward leaders when we're looking at them. And you want to look at the overall man and not the event that is in question. Now, obviously, there can be specific events that are so serious that would disqualify somebody. And I'm not talking about those kinds of things, because there are, you know, the guy, you know, murdered somebody, or the guy had an affair, or the guy, I think in, you know, major instances like that, yes, we need to look at the event. Even if overall prior to, there might not, we saw nothing. We didn't see that one coming. Nonetheless, those are big enough things that the person really is not. He's lost the ability to lead the church in those situations. But there are a lot of sins that are out there that aren't of that nature, that we just need to show grace to people in. So that's a principle that I want to put out there for us concerning how to apply what Paul's saying here in the real world. Because that's what we have to do. We have to apply this in the real world. And so, and our applications need to be common sense and not so rigid that nobody qualifies. Because that can happen. Okay, any questions on elders before we move to deacons? Okay, let's go to deacons then, which is the next section. So it's going to start in verse 8 and go from verses 8 through 13. And let me read. It says, "Deacons, likewise, must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Okay, what I want to do first is I'm just going to give you a couple minutes to look over what I just read. And I want you to come up with some observations. Just, what do you see? And I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that on your own, and then we're going to talk. Okay, so you've had a couple minutes to look this over. What I want to do is hear some from some of your observations. So what do you see in here? Just, it could be anything. So, who wants to go first?
The word devious.
I'm sorry, say that again.
Double-tongued.
Not double-tongued. Okay. So, they don't say one thing to one person and another thing to another person. They're straight in what they say to everybody. Their story doesn't change depending on who they're talking to. Okay? What else?
Deacons are the ones who have the money and take care of the benevolence. They're the ones who feed the widows, the whatever.
Yeah.
Not pursuing dishonest gain, trustworthy with money.
Yeah.
And their wives have to be quiet, able to be quiet, because they're going to see the struggles more than anybody else in that community.
Okay.
And they don't need to be talking about it.
Okay.
So God was, you know, here's God's way of saying, take care of the most vulnerable in your community.
Yeah.
And these are the guys who are going to do it, and their wives need to have this qualification so that these vulnerable don't get hurt.
Okay.
I just think that as God is just so kind.
Yes.
To put that in there.
Yes. Okay. Someone else? Leanne?
I liked how it said likewise.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. What does that mean?
I'm not sure if it means exactly the same qualifications as an elder. I didn't look back at them specifically because I believe elders are higher than a deacon.
Okay. But it ties it back to what he's saying with elders, doesn't it?
Likewise. So I mean, it gives some of the specific same instructions. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And in verse 10, it says basically they need to be tested first. And I don't remember seeing that under elders, but maybe it's assumed that they're going to, you know, test the elders first as well.
Right.
You know, maybe deacons weren't people that, well, I don't know, they're going to be godly people, but maybe it's easier to be a deacon, and so you kind of need to test that person.
Okay.
Versus, you know, elders. And I think in some churches, I don't know, this one, but, you know, you'll have deacons that are deaconesses. You'll have
right.
Deacons that are, yeah, that are women.
Okay.
I think it's also having to do with the money side of the person. Because, uh-huh. you know, if you test them, see if they're faithful to do this job.
Right.
Put them in a little baby deacon. I don't know what would be a baby deacon role, but...
What's that?
I don't know what would be a baby deacon role.
A baby deacon role?
Give them a little chance to see if they're faithful in this little part.
Sure.
They sell those at HEB.
What?
What?
Baby deacon roles.
Oh, baby deacon rules.
No, you know, when you compare the it's hard to compare the qualifications for elder and deacon because they overlap so much. But I mean, but you know, but the one on the money is interesting for me because if a deacon, it says they're not greedy for dishonest gain. So
yeah.
They don't, but the one for elder says doesn't have love of money.
Okay.
I mean, is that's bigger, it seems. But is that intended to be that way? Are those the same? You know what I mean? Are they?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you want to take just the strict reading of it, I mean, they would seem to be a lower standard kind of for the deacon than the elder.
Okay.
But God says all over the place about not the love of about the love of money and how.
He does.
How wrong that is.
That's a fairly general command, not just for elders or deacons, but for everybody.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
For, it's
Robert
for everyone. It's for everyone.
The unequal weights, man.
And obviously it's a big issue if someone is addicted to alcohol.
Right.
And both.
You're right. Yeah, we're going to compare them actually, because that's one of my questions coming. And so we're going to kind of look a little bit at that. So, what is a deacon? Okay, that's in Acts 6 when the widows were going neglected and the apostles said, it's not right for us to wait on tables. You know, we're going to give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Select from amongst yourselves, you know, X number of men who...
Standard on it too, godly men.
Yeah, God, you know, whom you trust to do this. And they did. And that... was an example of deacons. It's not the definition of deacons, but it is an example of deacons. So the word deacon is really a transliteration in English. The Greek word is diakonos, and it's the normal Greek word for servant. In fact, very often, and in fact, most often, when you see the word in scripture, it's you would translate it servant, not deacon, because it's the normal word for servant. Okay, now put that into a function. Now, Paul is actually he's here giving qualifications for servants, right? And so it is a position in the church that he's talking about. I mean, the context tells us that he just did elders, deacons likewise. And he gives qualifications. And so this is a position in the church that took on the name deacon. But they're servants. That's what they are. And they can serve in various capacities within the church. In modern churches, they might be leading worship. They might be the treasurer. They might be running a ministry to the homeless. They might be running a ministry to internationals, you know. They might be lots of different things that deacons might be doing, but they're servants of the church.
And that seems very practical as well, mm-hmm. especially if you're going to give somebody leadership of a ministry, you know, or a particular item in the church. to make them have to go by these standards.
Sure.
And not just, oh, hey, can you do that?
So then what's the difference between a deacon and an overseer?
It does seem here that, according to you, the deacons are less in the hierarchy than an overseer.
Okay.
In the hierarchy, but not in what's qualified. It seems that their qualifications are similar.
The qualifications are very similar, aren't they?
No, it says able to teach.
It doesn't say able to teach. And also, it's like these guys make sure, the elders make sure that spiritually the flock is going the right direction.
Right.
And the deacons make sure that the flock is taken care of.
Okay.
Maybe. And that the flock, and assist the flock in reaching out, maybe. I don't know, but it seems like.
Well, elders are shepherds.
They are too, yeah.
And shepherds are to care for the flock.
Right.
So that is an elder role, caring for the flock. But deacons are kind of like the hands and feet of the church. They're carrying out the various things. The elders have oversight over what the deacons are doing. The elders are the ones with the leadership, making the decisions, having the authority within the church. And responsible for the teaching and the doctrine and that the church is hearing from the Word of God and so on. That's the elder responsibility. The deacons are kind of the hands and feet going out and serving and doing what the church is called to do. And so that's really the difference. The difference between them has to do with authority predominantly. And spiritual, more elders are more spiritual oversight over the congregation. Okay, so then this text, what is the main focus of this text, verses 8 through 13?
What do you
mean? Qualifications. Qualifications for deacons.
Yeah.
That's the main focus. So then, in looking for a deacon, what are you looking for? We've alluded to this already.
Right. A solid man who can handle money well and has a wife that's not meddlesome.
Okay.
Tells the truth.
Okay. So basically, character. Integrity.
His faith.
Yeah, holds to the faith. Okay. Okay, so I told you I was going to ask this question, and we've been talking about it already. But how are the qualifications for deacons like the qualifications for elders? And how are they unlike the qualifications for elders?
Well, the likewise makes it seem to be the same. Deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect. So
okay.
These are men worthy of respect.
Okay.
It seems to be. But like you guys said, that King doesn't say that he has to be able to teach.
Okay, yeah. Deacons do not have to be able to teach.
And deacons have to be tested first.
They'd have to be tested first. That's right.
But that may be that when you do the able to teach thing, that may be the testing for the elders mm-hmm. that they've been teaching. So you know they can kind of.
Yeah.
So I was wondering about that.
It's hard to know sometimes because some of the words are very broad, which
there
could be, that sometimes for the elders it will talk about some more specifics within the broad category.
Okay.
But I mean, it doesn't talk about. Whether a deacon could be a recent convert. Mm.
That's right. It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't mean that we shouldn't be careful to. You know, you've got to test.
You have to test them.
You're supposed to test. So, but the recent convert part's not in there.
That's right.
And my deal about the money is a little bit of a picky thing, but it's a little bit different. So let's see. The well thought of by outsiders is not
not there.
And it speaks of their wives, which is fascinating because they don't have the elders.
Okay. We're going to talk about that in a minute.
You're right, that's true.
We'll come to what verse 11 is getting at in just a minute.
To me, it's again, it seems like the wives are going to be, the wives of deacons are going to see into people's lives more
okay.
than your average person, and they need to be careful to take care of that.
Okay.
That's my perspective in that, and I could be totally off, but that just looks...
We'll talk about that in a moment. Let's go to verse 10, testing. How do you test people?
Put them in small roles.
Okay.
Small roles. Put them in small positions and see how they handle it.
Okay. Give them something to do and observe.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Instead of letting him, again, remember, I'm an accounting professor's daughter. Instead of giving them the whole budget, we give them a little bit and see if, you know, if they handle the money well, if they handle the situation well, if they handle the pressure well, and then we can
issues or whatever.
What?
It might not be money.
No, issues, yeah, handle the pressure or whatever issues you're dealing with. Can they handle it? Are they doing it well? Mm-hmm. And I think that handles a bit of the recent convert, because if you've tested them, it takes time.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. So the church needs to not be in a hurry.
And not desperate. We got to find somebody. Okay, this person can do it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to trust God in this stuff too.
Okay. Let's go to verse 11.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead. Back to verse 10.
So we went to Hill Country UT, and it was, you know, church plan, just getting started. And one thing that they wanted to do, which maybe other people do, is get younger people in leadership. You know, and not just you have to be older to be able to be a deacon.
Yeah.
Right.
To try to give them responsibility. So I remember one of the gals, well, this was to be an elder, that, you know, he was a good man, he was elder, and then they were going to have an activity because it's like 300 UT undergrads. The gal who was the elder's wife says, well, I have to buy a new bathing suit because I'll have her bikinis.
Oh,
I was like,
okay.
You know, I wouldn't think about that, but she's kind of like, oh, no, I'm going to be a leader, you know, leader's wife here, basically, and I need to be appropriate. And so is that appropriate for, you know, be appropriate for this group of people, but if I'm an elder's wife, do I need to do some of these things, you know?
Okay.
Have something in the bikini and, you know, stuff like that. Blend in versus, you know, and so I just, some of that might have just been age, as
mm-hmm.
far as
what's appropriate for the age.
Yeah, I think when you are mm-hmm. gain age, sometimes you see what's not necessary and what's important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, that is kind of important. Or,
yeah.
You know, dressing in a different way might be important concerning guys, other guys that are there, if that might,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause them trouble, or just what is appropriate.
Yeah.
And so it brings up the whole question, what's appropriate? Is it okay to have, you know, like, deacons or elders that are young, to give them responsibility first? I'm going to test them out, but to give them all this leadership, and it would be worse to say, oh, you know, this hasn't worked out, we need to demote you or something like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, young guys can be as godly or more godly than older guys. It just depends on the
character. Right.
They can be.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not, that's why it's not saying age. It's,
no.
it's
that's right.
It's
same character.
Yeah.
The conversion, how long have you been a conversion?
Yeah.
Have you matured in that?
Yeah, and there isn't a, Paul doesn't say how long that is.
No.
He doesn't, it says it's not a recent convert. Well, when do you go from not a recent convert to, is it 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
A year? 5 years?
Uh-huh.
What's the line there? And I don't think the line is necessarily a time frame. I mean, within reason.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we're not talking like 3 days kind of thing. But we're looking at maturity. Is there a is this person growing and mature and so on? And that happens at different rates for different people.
And a new believer, things can be, if you watch new believers, and I did it too, it's a cut and dry. This or this. This or this. There tends to be no gray areas.
Uh-huh.
And you watch, because unfortunately in life there's gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's easy to, and as you watch them start grappling with the gray areas, then you're like, okay, you're maturing, because
yeah,
you know, what do you do in the middle of that? And being a new convert, you could be very destructive with that cut and dry. It could really hurt somebody who is in the gray area.
Yeah.
And not sinning, you know.
And all of these qualifications require that the church knows that person well.
Amen.
I mean, you can never truly know what's in someone's heart, but as much as you can,
right,
to be able to test to see if these are true. And that's what we've seen before, where it's gone really bad. It's when they didn't know. And I mean, and nothing, I'm not against what the elders, but that was the account. Was like,
multiple
we were
times.
Wrong. We did not have enough accountability. We did not know this person well enough.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that was right. They were right.
Yeah.
Two different men with multiple years.
Yeah, that's
okay. Yeah.
Affairs,
yeah.
Let's go to verse 11. So there's a very big translation issue in verse 11 that completely changes how you read this depending on which way you translate this. And here's the translation issue. The Greek word for wives and the Greek word for women is the same word.
Okay.
And so then, and if you have, I've got ESV, which translates it wives, but then has a footnote that tells you that you can translate this women just as easily. And you can.
Okay.
And you can translate it women just as easily.
So we could be talking about deaconesses here.
Exactly.
Okay, that's fine.
So is verse 11 talking about the wives of deacons, or is verse 11 talking about female deacons?
That's,
there's a difference. Whichever way you translate it determines what you're talking about.
Either way.
And both ways are legitimate translations. And so, go ahead.
I understand what you're saying. I am talking here just as someone who is looking at a text from a language perspective.
Yes.
When you say there, what are you referring to? In your understanding, when I say their women or their wives.
Okay, so that's the thing. In the Greek, the possessive pronoun is not there. There is no there in the Greek. If you translate it wives, you have to put the there in there.
Oh, okay.
There isn't even a definite article. There's no the women. It just says women, likewise, must be blah, blah. That's how the Greek reads. And so the there has been translated into English. It's been inserted in English to, you know, make it more understandable in English if you take that as wives. But if you take it as women, this is talking about women deaconesses.
Mm-hmm.
Women deacons,
mm-hmm,
is what it's referring to.
Are some deaconesses referenced in Acts? Am I wrong in that?
No. Not, there aren't any referenced in Acts that I'm aware of.
Okay.
There's Phoebe in Romans 16 who's listed as a deacon.
Oh, okay.
But okay, so that there's a translation issue there, because I told you earlier, the word deacon and the word servant are the same word.
Right.
So is Phoebe, is he just saying Phoebe is a servant, or is he saying Phoebe is a deacon? And people argue that on both sides, and it's a fair argument. It's a gray area.
Okay.
And so, but I think if you look at verse 11, their wives or women likewise must be dignified. So look at verse 11, dignified, and go back to verse 8. Deacons must be dignified.
See, mine translates in the NIV, translated worthy of respect, the same way it was translated in 8, worthy of respect.
Worthy of respect. Okay? And then look at the next word. Not slanderers. And then go up there and not double-tongued. We're talking about your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then look at the next one. Up at the top, it's not addicted to much wine. Down below, it's not sober-minded. Sober-minded in English, or in the Greek, has the same range of meanings, which can refer to alcohol, as well as like a clear head.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
It means both. It actually carries both meanings in English and in Greek. And so there can be even a connection there in terms of, and so I'm going to tell you where I land on this. I land on saying that this is talking about women. And the reason I land there has to do with the connection above that I just pointed out to you, as well as the fact that there is no requirement. He says nothing about elders' wives. Why? Elders are actually a higher level of authority, and you would think that the wives of the elders, surely, if the wives of the deacons must be this way, certainly the wives of the elders must be this way. And so for those reasons, I land on taking this as women, that I think that's what Paul is saying. I think he's talking about female deacons.
But what do you do with 12? Because it immediately goes, deacon must be the husband of
one. Exactly. And so verse 12 then is the reason why people will translate it as wives. Because then he goes to deacons must be the husband of one wife. And there you actually do have, it literally says, a one-woman man. Is how it comes across. A one-woman man. He must be a one-woman man. And there it's the sentence is pretty obviously talking about husbands and wives. There. But that is the reason why people who translate it wives will do so. They'll say, yeah, but look at verse 12. And so, you know, is he sort of interrupting and just saying, okay, and also the women likewise, this, okay, and then he returns to his discussion.
This is not a hill to die on.
It is not, but you kind of know the issue. And when we were talking earlier about where Paul was saying, you know, I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, for Adam was created first and then Eve, and so on. And we talked there about, okay, what is he allowing and disallowing here? And I brought up deacons, and I said, I don't think Paul's talking about deacons here in verses 11 and 12. I think he's talking about pastors and elders in verses 11 and 12. I don't think women can be pastors or elders. I do think women can be deacons. There's a different role there. One has more authority teaching. One is a service role for the church. Okay, verse 13. Let's go there. Just tell me what it says.
If you serve well, it gives them great assurance in their faith.
Okay.
And
a good standing. So what does that mean? What does it mean that they gain a good standing? What's that mean?
Just like respect from others around them.
Okay, respect. You'll gain the respect of the church, perhaps?
Mm-hmm. They grow in their connection in the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
So let me ask you this question. Why does serving well as a deacon give you confidence in your faith? Because he says that, right? Well, why does serving well as a deacon do that? Why does it give you confidence in your faith?
Maybe as you know, carry out some of your responsibilities and pray and see things happen, because you know, you're specifically serving or ministering, then you can really be rejoicing. You can really gain. You can grow in faith. You know, you're responsible for some kind of ministry, and as you're tested and you do well, then maybe, and I just think answer prayer too.
Just see God working.
Right. Because you're doing
you see God working
regularly. It's not just on, you know, cooking dinner or whatever. But I mean, yeah, every role should be important. All of us are important in Christ, whether we're a deacon or not, important in serving. But yeah, get to see the results of the consistent work that you're doing.
Okay.
In the church.
Have you ever gained confidence in Christ through serving?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what that verse says, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so you understand it. Mm-hmm. You understand the idea. You've seen it. Mm-hmm. You want to give an example? Anyone?
Not figuring some situations, facing some difficult decisions. When people give insights about their lives and you get to know that, oh, they are struggling like spiritually or emotionally or in different ways, and that would put me in front of the Lord somewhere as in a some kind of either intercessor or an authority over them depending on the relationship,
right?
And all that would make, like you, before having a wife and children and the Lord, and then having a wife and children, so you gain a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
By stepping in that role,
right?
And that would mature some things and put you in some pressure.
Okay.
And I just remember, I guess I was thinking in terms of when you were doing the ministry to the Spanish speakers, and we realized that we didn't have the giftings that were absolutely needed at the time to make this
like
the ministry work.
Yeah.
Okay.
We weren't the evangelists. And to see that we can't do it, but we can ask God to provide the ones who can.
Sure.
And what? Like, less than a month later, we had people who would share Christ with us four. I mean, they were from Mexico, perfectly capable to handle. They stepped in. It's like, this is what we want to do. And we're like, yes, there you go, God. And yeah, it's just to know that God can provide
okay.
what you need when you need it.
So you saw God work.
Oh, yeah.
As you served.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's good. Okay, any comments or questions on deacons that anyone wants to discuss?
I have a lot of questions, but...
yeah!
Go ahead.
Because it's such a broad category, because you talked about it.
Yes.
Pray about what would it look like in the church, right?
Yeah.
And that's such a tough question to mm-hmm. know of what are needed. I mean, there's so much flexibility in it. It can
right.
apply to any type of church. I mean type. Whatever is needed in that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it makes it hard to know what is the right thing. You see it, you know, kind of like you took it out of a box, sort of, for a lot of churches, you know, and you're going to have this deacon for this, and you're going to do this, you know what I mean? Like it's that's the way you're supposed to do it everywhere.
Right.
But it's not really the case.
Right.
So that's why I have a lot of questions about.
Okay.
What would it look like?
What's it look like in the real world?
In our group
of
people?
It looks like the way God leads you.
I know, that's what I mean. But I mean, that requires a lot more of seeking the Lord than just the prepackaged, you know, we have the deacon for this, we have committees for that, which I'm glad that's the case, but it does take a lot more.
Right.
Seeking God and trusting in Him.
Right.
And seeing and having confidence in God as the result because of trying to figure out what it means.
I just think back, okay, talking about that Spanish speaking ministry, as you were seeking God, like, what is this church supposed to be doing? You started asking people, what do you think the need is? What do you think the need is? And it just kept every single person, from elderly people to, I mean, just the wide range, all said English language for Spanish speaker. It was just constant. Mm-hmm. There was never anybody else who said anything different. That was what was so amazingly odd in that small body of believers. And then we're talking really diverse people. So
uh-huh.
it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
No, the thing that you see, like you say, see God building confidence in is that we were asking for someone who was a Spanish speaker who was godly to come because we knew where these people were that we needed. And so I was talking to my friend from Ecuador. He is a Spanish language pastor.
Yeah.
I mean, he was one a really close friend of ours, and saying, "Hey, we know who these people are. Or you can just walk down to this place and you can find all of the that are from that area."
Wow.
And but we're not able to share with them. We can teach them English, sort of a bit, but until they get it, you know, we don't know.
Yeah.
And would you pray for that?
Yeah.
And then he's called me back and said, I have a couple in my church that are praying about doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. And I knew who they were because he said they were, in a sense, the most valuable people in his church body, to the church.
Yeah.
They were.
And then he called me back and said, they're moving to Georgetown.
They literally.
Seriously? but even more than that, I grew a respect for him because, you know, talking about planting churches, he wasn't afraid to lose the people that were the most useful, the best servants, the ones that were the most valuable. He said, here.
Yeah.
It's like,
praise the Lord.
How does that happen? You know what I mean?
God does that.
That's right.
So
he was humble. He was a humble leader.
Yeah.
An elder who, that's what he saw the world, to reach those who were lost.
Yeah.
And not to preserve his own situation.
So, yeah.
So
we.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I just said God walks his feet.
Yeah.
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 His church continued, even though he does.
Yeah. Kind of like we've been praying for Muslim background believers.
Exactly.
Same.
Exactly.
That reminds me of what we're praying for.
That's exactly right.
Right now. So you asked about what does it look like. Deacons are the ones who are predominantly doing the ministry. Mm-hmm. They're out there doing the ministry. And what ministries does the church do? Well, that's really an elder function. The elders are the ones who are responsible for making those bigger decisions. Are we going to pursue this or this? And the elders are the ones who are involved with that higher level oversight, decision-making, authority, you know, type thing for the church and the direction of the church. And then the elders say, okay, we're going to go in this direction. The deacons are the ones who are leading really in that direction. They're the ones who are doing that ministry, serving and doing whatnot as you move in that direction. And so I'm trying to get you to think the difference between the roles and the functions here and what's going on in the church.
But not value difference.
What's that?
But not a value difference.
Oh, no. It's not a value difference.
It's not more valuable.
It's a different role.
It's just a different role.
But
that's why I think that the qualifications are so similar.
That's right.
Because it is very important for everyone who leads out to have character.
Yes. That's right. Okay. Let's stop because we're out of time. Actually, we're probably over time.